Ever had one of those friendships, you know the kind, where things go so bad it still makes you cringe, even years later?
Oh yeah, those can be brutal.
Well, that's what today's deep dive is all about, except this one played out on an epic, very public scale.
It sounds juicy.
Oh, it is. We're talking about the Minecraft server implosion, and specifically, we're diving into founding member Gude's take on the whole thing.
Minecraft. Now, for those who missed that particular era of internet history,
It was the place to be in the early days of Minecraft on YouTube, right?
huge. Think collaborative Let's Plays, massive charity streams. They really had this whole community vibe going strong for a while, anyway.
Until it all went south.
And we're talking nuclear meltdown level south in this case.
Because our source material, buckle up, is a 30-minute, no-holds-barred rant from Gude.
Years after the fact, too.
Years after. He really lets loose, going off on his former friends and collaborators. Accusations are flying left and right, names are named. It's a wild ride.
It's honestly kind of fascinating how much raw emotion is still there in his voice, even after all these years. It's not just someone recounting a series of events from the past. It's like he's reliving it, pain and all.
Exactly. And he really goes in on Generic B and Rob, two other Minecraft members. Calls them snakes, liars, accuses them of only being in it for the money and the sympathy. He doesn't hold back.
Which I guess speaks to how intense those relationships must have been, right? This wasn't just a business arrangement. We're talking about people who, on some level at least, considered each other friends.
Right.
So to have that kind of falling out, yeah, there's going to be some lingering feelings there.
So put yourself in Gude's shoes for a second. You've poured your heart and soul into this dream project, this awesome community you helped build,
Right.
and it's all crumbling around you.
Not a good feeling.
And he places the blame for this whole mess on two main things, according to him. First, there were the internal conflicts, a lot of which he pins squarely on Generic B and Rob, as we mentioned.
The drama.
Oh, yeah, plenty of that. And then on top of all that, he says there were these massive external pressures, legal issues, Mojang, the company behind Minecraft, breathing down their necks about how they were using the Minecraft name.
I can see how that would be stressful for sure.
A total mess. And in the middle of it all, God seems to see himself as the scapegoat.
Really?
He says he's the guy who ends up getting blamed for everything going wrong when all he was trying to do, in his words, was hold it all together.
It's easy to play the blame game after the fact, of course.
Yeah.
Tough to say what the full reality was.
That's very true. And we have to remember what we're dealing with here is a single and, let's be honest, very passionate perspective.
Right. This is just Goob's side of the story.
Exactly. But even with that said, get ready, because some of these accusations are wild. And one thing that really jumps out is just how much money seems to be at the heart of all this drama.
Which, I mean, it makes sense in a way, right? I mean,
Yeah.
these were people building their careers, their livelihoods, even off this platform, off this community they were a part of.
Oh,
And the
absolutely.
stakes were incredibly high. So, yeah, money's going to come into it somewhere.
Exactly. And Gude claims that this whole financial motivation was behind a lot of the drama that went down. For example, he says Generic B was really pushing hard for annual server resets.
Server resets. What is that even?
Basically, wiping the Minecraft server clean and starting fresh, new world, new builds, the whole shebang.
Oh, wow. So all that work, all those hours poured into building these elaborate worlds. Just gone.
Gone.
I can see why people would be upset.
And God claims Generic B was all for it, purely because he thought it would bring in more views, more new players, and ultimately more money.
Huh. That's a really interesting point when you think about it. Kind of brings up this bigger question about creative ownership in these digital spaces, you know?
How so?
Well, is it about the community, the long-term vision of what you're building together? Or at the end of the day, is it just about maximizing profits, even if it means hitting the reset button on everything that came before?
That's a tough one.
It really is. Makes you think.
And it wasn't just the server resets either. Remember those insane monuments they used to build in the
Oh,
game?
yeah, those were epic.
God claims that whole thing, those monuments, caused a huge amount of drama, specifically between him and Generic B. And it might have even affected collaborations with other Minecraft members, like Pulsors Jr., for example.
Wow. So we're talking about personal conflicts, these creative clashes having these ripple effects outward, impacting not just the people directly involved, but the entire community that's watching all of this unfold.
Exactly.
Wild.
And then on top of all that, there's Rob.
Oh, what did Rob do?
Gout accuses him of straight up financial dishonesty.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Gad claims that Rob was making bank from Minecraft, raking it in, while publicly saying he wasn't earning anything at all. He even says that Rob told Nissan he wasn't making any money while actually pulling in a cool $155,000 a month.
Oh, wow. If that's true, that's a whole other level.
Right.
It really makes you think about this whole dynamic between public image versus private reality, especially in the world of online influencers.
Yeah, it's like, how much are we as viewers really supposed to know?
And how much does that transparency or lack thereof impact the trust within these online communities?
That's a great question. We'll be right back after a quick break. It's kind of like that old saying, you know, where there's smoke,
there's fire.
Exactly. And in the case of Minecraft, there seemed to be a whole lot of smoke, especially around this whole money thing.
Yeah, for sure. And money has a way of complicating things, doesn't it? Even the strongest bonds can get strained when there's that much at stake.
Totally. But it's interesting, right? Because Goud, in this rant, he doesn't just focus on the people he clearly sees as the bad guys in all of this. He also talks about the people he felt were the good guys, you know, the ones who did right by him.
Oh, yeah. Like who?
Well, he has major praise for Captain Sparkless, for one.
Really? Interesting.
Calls him genuinely good, humble, even after he got super successful. Which, let's be real, that kind of fame can change people.
Absolutely.
But Gout seems to think Captain Sparkless stayed true to himself through it all.
It's almost like by showcasing these positive examples, God's trying to highlight the contrast, you know, between the people who he felt stayed true to the spirit of Minecraft and those who, well, those who strayed from the path, let's say.
Totally. And there are others he mentions too. Adlington, Pyro, Beef, Etho. They all get a shout out from God. He clearly has a lot of respect for them and for how they handled themselves throughout this whole ordeal.
It makes you wonder, you know, if we could somehow hear their side of the story, would they confirm everything God's saying? Or would they offer a totally different perspective? It's like one giant game of telephone, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And like any good gossip session, there's a healthy dose of he said, she said happening here too. Because then on the flip side, there's Anderzell. God calls him out, accuses him of bailing on charity events and stuff. And then there's B00.
What about him?
Good seems to feel kind of bad for him, actually. Thinks B00 got caught in the crossfire, basically manipulated by generic B.
Oh, man. So much drama. And speaking of drama, we can't forget about that bombshell Good drops. You know, the whole I've got dirt on other creators bit.
Right. Like, spill the tea, dude. Who are you talking about?
So frustrating.
I know. It definitely adds this whole other layer of intrigue to the whole thing, doesn't it?
For sure.
It's like, who else might be involved and what kind of secrets might be lurking out there?
Yeah, what skeletons are hiding in the closet?
Exactly. Okay, so let's recap for a second. We've got money issues. We've got clashing personalities. We've got whispers of unspoken truths and betrayals. It's like a recipe for disaster, right?
Oh.
But we can't forget about one more crucial ingredient that gets thrown into the mix, the infamous Minecraft contract.
Ah, yes, the contract.
This thing was basically a powder keg, from what Good says, really stirred the pot. But he's adamant that it was all about protecting Minecraft, you know? Legalities, trademark stuff. He insists it wasn't about trying to control people or anything like that. But perception is reality, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it definitely sounds like some of the Minecraft members perceived this contract as a power grab, a way for Good to exert more control than he had before. Whether that was his intention or not, we can't really say.
No, totally. And that's the thing about this whole thing, right? We're just getting these little glimpses into what might have been going on behind the scenes.
Right.
But to Good's credit, he does try to defend himself a little bit here. He brings up another member, Zisto, and he says that Zisto actually negotiated some pretty specific clauses into the contract, which Goad says shows that he was willing to be flexible to work with people. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't about being this dictator calling all the shots.
I mean, it does suggest a certain level of openness to collaboration, at least in that specific instance. But then there's Etho. Didn't he refuse to sign the contract at all?
He did, but Goad claims that was purely because Etho wanted to keep his real name under wraps.
Ah, okay. Privacy concerns.
Exactly. He says it wasn't because Etho disagreed with the contract itself.
Which, I mean, who knows, right? It could be totally legit.
Totally.
But again, it's kind of like Dude's word against everyone else's.
And that's the thing about deep dives like this, isn't it? We're stuck piecing together this puzzle where, like, half the pieces are missing.
Exactly. And that can be really frustrating.
Oh, tell me about it. But it's also kind of what makes it so fascinating, you know?
True. It's up to us to decide what to believe, what to question, what conclusions, if any, we can even draw from all of this.
Right. And it makes you realize that there are always multiple sides to every story. Always. And without hearing from the other people involved in all of this, it's impossible to know for sure what truly happened behind the scenes of Mindcrack's downfall.
Yeah, good point.
But there's one thing that really struck me as we were digging into this rant, one thing that I think is really important to talk about, and that's Guild's emotional state during all of this.
Yeah, you can tell he's still carrying a lot of baggage from this whole thing.
So much. This isn't just some cold, calculated recounting of events, you know? This is a guy pouring his heart out, even after all these years.
It's raw. You can hear it in his voice, even with the passage of time. It's like a wound that hasn't quite healed.
Exactly.
And he doesn't shy away from using some colorful language, to say the least, especially when he's describing the hate he received online.
Oh, yeah.
It's a stark reminder, you know, that behind every screen name, behind every avatar, there's a real person with real feelings.
It's easy to forget that sometimes, especially online, right?
Totally.
Especially in the heat of the moment when you're caught up in all the drama. But these online communities, these spaces, they matter. These connections, even if they're virtual, they run deep for some people. And when those connections fracture, it can be brutal.
It really can. It speaks to the power of these online spaces, doesn't it? For better or for worse. They can foster these incredible communities, these really powerful connections. But they can also become breeding grounds for conflict, for misunderstanding, for lasting hurt.
And you can really hear that, you know? Just the weight of it all on Goad. The regret, the anger, all those feelings still simmering after all these years.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack for sure. Makes you wonder, how much of this whole rant is about Goad genuinely trying to set the record straight versus how much of it is just him still needing to process this massive, very public life event, you know?
It's probably a bit of both, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's definitely a catharsis that comes with sharing your story, getting it all out there, even if it's years after the fact, especially when you've been on the receiving end of so much online criticism and hate like he was.
Oh, absolutely. It's like he's saying, this is my truth. This is how it went down. Take it or leave it.
Right.
But here's the thing, and it's a big thing. We are only getting one side of what was clearly a very complicated, very multifaceted story. We've heard Goad's version of events, his accusations, his regrets.
His truth.
Right. But where does that leave us, the listeners? What are we supposed to do with all this information?
Honestly, I think it leaves us with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't think the point of a deep dive like this is to come away with some sort of neat, perfectly tied up conclusion, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about picking sides or passing judgment.
Right.
It's about recognizing just how messy and complex human relationships can be, especially in these online spaces where the lines between what's public and what's private can get so incredibly blurry.
Totally. And it's a really good reminder that there are always, always multiple perspectives to consider. Like, was Goad really trying to salvage a sinking ship, as he claims? Or were his actions more about ego, about control, than he's letting on? We just don't know for sure.
Exactly. And we also can't discount the possibility that Goad, just like all of us, is an imperfect narrator of his own story, right? Maybe he made mistakes. Maybe he has regrets.
Maybe we all do.
Exactly. But the point is, without being able to hear from the other people involved in all of this, from Generic B, from Rob, from all the others, it's impossible to say with any certainty what truly transpired behind the scenes of Mindcrack's downfall.
It's like reading one of those juicy mystery novels where the last few pages got ripped out.
Ugh, the worst.
I know. So frustrating. We're left to speculate about all those unanswered questions, all those lingering doubts. Like, did money actually poison the well, as Guide seems to believe? What dirt does he actually have on those other creators? And will we ever, ever, ever know the full story?
Perhaps not. But see, that's the beauty of a deep dive like this, right? It's not about neatly tying everything up with a bow. It's about leaning into the ambiguity, the complexity, and recognizing that sometimes the most compelling stories are the ones that leave us with more questions than answers.
Well said. And on that note, dear listener, we turn the microphone over to you. How reliable, Dee, do you find Guardian as a narrator? Did his words resonate with you, or do you get the sense there's more to the story? Ultimately, what does this whole saga, this whole Mindcrack implosion, tell us about the power dynamics, the creative clashes, and the long-lasting impact of these online communities that we build and that we're a part of? Something to think about. And until next time, happy diving.